Okay. George, there's someone else there. Or Lisa, was it you?
Lisa, was it?
Yeah, it must have been Lisa Davis. I'm sorry. Lisa, are you there? George, you want to weigh in until Lisa can come back to us?
Okay. No, I support the sense of this. And I think if we're going to be a network and we're going to fulfill the mission, it's got to be as a national organization. And the network ought to be able to say, we need to put this on. I don't quite understand the mechanism. So, what's missing from this is who says you must put it on with enough of, because I gather that, in fact, the stations have been saying, well, no, I don't think I'm going to. And it seems to me, I'm sort of asking, what's the mechanism for deciding this is a must carry? Everybody's got to put this on. Find some time in your schedule when you're going to do it. And maybe Nathan could answer that. I don't know what it is.
Just to address that directly, we have no official mechanism for calling a must carry. The stations operate extraordinarily autonomously. Now, by and large, if there's something really big that stations sort of realize needs to be carried, they generally do. Sometimes it takes a bit of coaxing. Sometimes program directors don't all see the importance of something on first glance. There effectively isn't a method for must carry except sort of applying a lot of pressure on the phone.
This is Lisa. I kind of
Lisa,
fell off
hi.
The phone.
Right. You were on the stack, and it's your turn now.
Did I blow it? No.
No, we're giving you your...
You're giving me my shot now, my spotlight. Okay, I want to say I understand how the intent, and this was written, but, it seems like to me that it's getting a bit more complicated. I know we had a lot of discussion over what does come across as being a must carry, and I remember the programming committee. We passed that policy in 2006, was it? Because it seems like it was like last year to me in my mind. But there was a lot of conversation, and in fact, I've been trying to briefly look over the programming
policy right now.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
We're here.
Because I heard an echo in my ear. I don't know if it's my phone. I don't want to see any language in here that like kind of, for lack of a better word, sidesteps what we put in the programming policy. I would say if anything pertaining to any kind of things about national programming and how to do it, we should go by what's in the programming policy already that we work so hard on. And we know this is going to be something that it will open up so much conversation and discussion about this because, anything that's even remotely sounds like a must carry. I would like to recommend that we don't necessarily try to reinvent the wheel. And I was still trying, like I said, as we were talking, to look at the programming policy. But if anything, just substitute language and said we need to the programming policy was adopted. Please look at it and make sure that we are, going according to that instead of saying, you must have a must carry. Because we talked quite a bit about this, when we were going over the programming policy. So that's my thoughts right now on this.
After people are done, I'd love to get back on stack.
Go ahead, Bonnie.
Is there nobody else on stack?
No, not right now, no.
I agree with Lisa because I remember being in on all of those conversations. And I really think that we have to wrap our heads around the way that this ever gets done is to shoot to make programs that are want to carry rather than must carry. So, because more goes into making something really work on the air than just being told that you have to do it. And you're just building in failure if you do it that way to people. We have to produce things that are so exceptional that everybody is clamoring to take them, and everybody is enthusiastic trying to think about how they can gracefully move things around so that they will have room to carry them. And, it doesn't always work. I think there were even initially stations that had a difficult time making the decision to carry things about Winter Soldier. But if we are able to make a few things that people really, really enjoy and get something out of, then it's going to become easier. People are not going to be so afraid and not so feeling that it hasn't worked in the past that they won't be willing to make the effort to do it. But just mandating to people in a less than subtle way, I just think you're building in your own failure.
This is Kathy.
And then
Yes, Kathy and Sharon, please, and then let's try to close the debate.
I think a big part of what's going on with the must-carries and the national programming is that they're not geared towards the various, not everything is geared towards the station. Our stations are very different. And I feel that they tend to be very, from the BAI perspective, they tend to be very West Coast in terms of and there's no familiarity of, there's not the inclusion of the station. And I think that if you want them to be carried, there has to be an effort to be more inclusive of the various talents across the network.
Okay, Sharon?
I think that people are misunderstanding. I mean, I totally agree with Bonnie and Lisa after all that work that we did and the long discussions on this. But it's I think that it's a matter of some slight revision in the language. It's clear to address Kathy's issue that if you look at the caveat, that programming should arise from local programs and initiatives, and then the other one is collaborative. So I think that maybe this needs some tweaking in the wording in order for it to capture more of what is in the national policy. It's the same concept. I think it's just crafting language that's probably a little bit more acceptable. And I do agree with Bonnie that when it's really good stuff, people carry. But, and Kathy, if there is a collaboration and if it is coming from the individual station initiative, then I think that it can get geared to the individual stations. That's part of the point of having it be collaborative. So I am willing to work with whoever on kind of recrafting the language for this so that it's not as does not, because nowhere does it say must carry, really, or even buy it. So I think we just have to work on language here.
Sure, yeah. I would just like to remind everybody that we spent years since, I don't know, 2004, 2005, crafting the policy. We've tried any number of ways to engage management in discussions of programming, and there has been no response. The big problem that the network faces is that since 1998, we have produced no shows like Democracy Now! And the Operations Collective, or whatever you want to call it, has consistently not been able to agree on producing any programs. I think that Kathy's point is correct. There has been a tendency for programming proposals to be station-centric and coast-centric. But the reality is that well-produced, mission-driven programming like Democracy Now! Has not come out of Pacifica in 10 years. And it is our responsibility on the PNB to set policies that do that. Now, my personal feeling is that it's up to our executive director to make the determination about that, about how that's going to take place. But the reality is that even the radio professionals in this group understand that a successful radio station is going to have well-produced national programs as well as local programs. And we have been lacking that for a long, long time. So, yes, we can change the language and recraft it. And we obviously want to engage management in this dialogue. But there has been no dialogue. And nothing is happening And if we don't bring our most talented people together soon, you know, we're going to be in serious trouble. I think that there are great shows. You know, I know of shows at every single station that I think could sustain a national audience. But we're not taking any steps to bring those programmers or programs to regional, let alone national audiences. So it seems to me that it's incumbent upon the PNB to take some moves to get management to do something more than they've done now, because we really need to begin producing better programming if we expect to reach larger audiences.
Rob, I don't want to be a pig, but there was something.
Go ahead, Bonnie. Be a pig.
Okay. You know, in principle, yes, I agree that we should always be trying to include people from every part of the network. But as someone who has done radio for a very, very way too long time,
mm-hmm.
I will tell you that it is a natural tendency, and particularly when we are dealing in very time-sensitive, stressful situations where we are, particularly these days, trying to produce something golden and wonderful without very many resources to do it with,
mm-hmm.
that you tend to go to your proven teammates. You tend to sort of put your collaboration based on knowing a lot about the people that you're asking to work with you on something and knowing their strengths and their weaknesses and knowing what they're going to be capable of. So I'm not arguing for that, but I'm just saying that it's a factor that you have to think about, particularly when we're doing all of this on such a shoestring. And that sometimes, look, I fully believe that things have to come from small seeds, small local seeds, and that it really makes sense when you're talking about a series, a show that's on, you know, many, many times, that
mm-hmm.
that you need to grow it locally and you need to polish it up by having
yep.
it be on the air locally in front of a friendly audience, if you will. A slightly more friendly audience than you will get if you're putting it on somewhere where they've never heard the voices involved. When you are talking about actual specials, it's a little bit different constraint that you're dealing with, but I sometimes think that what doesn't work is to come up with a big concept and then try to do it in this very mechanized way where you get stuck and say, well, we've got to have three people from each state involved in this. When, in fact, the perfect – do you know what I'm saying? You just – I don't think you can make it as mechanized as that. And I think sometimes you have to let what forms a really creative team that's going to really do some sparkling stuff run with it.
Bonnie, I think that you're exactly right. Unfortunately, I think that we're not doing any of those things in a big way. And I think what we're trying to say in these resolutions is that from a programmatic standpoint, what we need to be doing is empowering, you know, conditions and people that are going to create, you know, a creative environment in which more of that can happen. But my feeling is that we have all the empirical evidence we need that that's not what we're doing now. I mean, maybe people feel that it is, but I think that the fact that we haven't been able to produce anything to complement Democracy Now in 10 years is a failure.
But I don't think
we need to argue this anymore.
May I get back on the stack?
This is Kathy, also on the stack.
May I get on the stack, please?
All right, Lisa, Kathy, and Dan, and then let's go on. Uh-huh. We got two more items.
Okay. I want to say again about this, and sometimes, you know, strategically, the more you have in something sometimes, and especially because I just know that this is a hot-button issue. I know what automatically happens so many times. We're in agreement with something in terms of how we see it on the programming committee. Then the document goes out or the idea goes out, and other people say, well, what are you trying to do? It is very important, and I agree with Bonnie's concept, and I don't say anybody is disagreeing with this, but the thing about buy-in, if we have... At least we know that this is a controversial hot-button issue. If we have this just up front in this particular document, especially since we do have a programming document that was passed, programming policy, I think that this might just make this particular thing that we're trying to do more complicated. I think, and I know it's hard, you know, but even if we pass this, if we know it's hard trying to get people to come together and stuff like that, even if we pass this lofty motion, it'll be just something else that we pass doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to happen. You said something that I think we need to try to understand a little bit more sometimes in terms of why something is not maybe going on. So I know Bonnie alluded to this earlier, and I support this, that I think that we should try to, if at all possible, you know, get some management program directors or GMs or whatever also about this, to just say to them, okay, what can we do? How can we help these processes along? We passed this programming policy. Here are some of the concerns that we talked about that we think if they could be addressed or can begin to be addressed, how can it happen? And just in general across the board, in my opinion, there's not enough of those conversations. Things get passed. We make all these wonderful declarations and motions, and boom, they just sit there sometimes. You know, I think that, you know, we need to sometimes say, how can we help this along? And I think that this would be a time to do it. But I would,
Kathy?
I don't think that should be in there.
Okay. Kathy?
Yes. I have a copy of the original plan and contract for Democracy Now, and created by Samori. And when Democracy Now! Was formed, each of the five stations contributed $20,000 to create an initial budget for that program to exist.
Sure.
And I think that we have to take into consideration that certainly in New York, our best locally produced programs are produced by unpaid producers on their own dime. And I think some of them are very worthy of national broadcasts, like Law and Disorder and Michio Kaku, His Exploration. There are some good shows that come out of New York that are produced by unpaid producers. But if we want to think about creating another Democracy Now, then as a board and as a network, we have to think about how to resource such a program. And it's not something that can be done. It may be initiated on the local level, but it's something that requires more than a motion such as this. It really requires a realistic look at what funding it would take to create the kind of program that Democracy Now! Provides. They've been enormously resourceful, and they're well-funded. And if we're going to compete at that level, we have to think about how we're going to put together the funding for it. And I feel that I had mentioned it some time ago, but I really feel that the programming committee should form some kind of fundraising subcommittee to see what we could provide for the network to be able to do these things.
Okay, that's a great idea. That's a great idea. I think Dan was the final voice.
Yes. Well, first of all, we're in financial difficulties, and Democracy Now! Produces about 25% of our pledge revenues at most of our stations. Now, to me, that's a tremendous argument for having more national programming, and especially because Democracy Now! Is on many platforms, and if something happens to Democracy Now!, we're going to really be hurting. But obviously, even one more national program that garnered maybe 15% of a station's revenues would be a tremendous asset to the foundation. Now, I agree with the last comment that was made about money, and I think we ought to devote, as a ballpark figure, $25,000 to study what kind of program would be most mission-driven for us, and that would get the kind of audiences that we're looking for on our stations. Then I think we ought to take three programs and devote some money to producing them and putting them on and seeing what flies. I also think Nathan's role could be very important in all of this and should be. And I think we should direct Nathan to suggest a bunch of programs that are on the individual stations that could be national programs. And I think that would have some credibility if that were to happen. The other thing is anybody – well, this is part of another subject, and I don't know if we're going to get to this. I had talked to Rob about it. Does anybody look – is anybody in charge at the national level of looking at the program schedules and saying, look, these are getting incredibly small audiences? And it's not good.
I can address the last
Nathan,
point. I'm sorry, this is Stack.
No, Nathan, I was going to ask you if you could respond in your capacity to some of the issues that have arisen that you have some expertise in.
Sure. I mean, on the last point in particular, I get the Arbitron numbers. I crunch those numbers and provide hour-by-hour reports to stations on the generally top-line reports. When I've got time and kind of when the mood strikes, I've provided hour-by-hour reports to, I'm pretty sure, all of our stations at some time or another. And it's true, some hours do very, very poorly for what you might expect in our markets at the time, at those particular hours. Some do okay. Very few outside of Democracy Now, kind of blow it away. I send those reports, and I've offered to provide a lot of listenership analysis to any program director that wants it.
Good.
Rob?
Who just spoke, please?
A point of information.
Sherna?
Referring to Democracy Now! As bringing in 25% of the revenue. That is no longer true, and I think that there are a whole lot of reasons for it that really should be thought about, but I think we have to stop quoting what had been a bygone phenomena, frankly.
But the fact of the matter is, Sherna, that the network, that Pacifica is capable of developing programs that are mission-driven, that arise from the local stations, and that have the capacity to reach broad-based national audiences. We haven't done that for 10 years. Not to do that is not healthy.
I'm not arguing about that. I was making a
okay.
point of information that
okay.
people, because it's important to
okay.
think about why it is no longer true as we start to talk about a national program or several national programmings. And I also want to reiterate that I do not think that Nathan has been given the kind of, I don't know what, if it's resources or authority, to really be more actively involved in this process. And I would like a recommendation from this committee to come out that deals with his role.
Okay.
I appreciate that, Sherman. And Rob, if I could just bounce in for 30 seconds.
Please, Nathan.
Sherman is right about the money part. I don't have stats in front of me, but every general manager tells me Democracy Now! No longer brings in the oft-quoted 25% of our revenue. It is still obviously a substantial amount of revenue and also substantial listenership. At all of our stations, Democracy Now! Either is the sole or shared peak listenership throughout the day. far and away at some stations, at a couple stations like KPFK and KPFA, their morning shows pretty close to match it, statistically match it at least, in terms of their AQH and QM listenership. You know, it's even though its revenues are definitely down, it is definitely still our most listened to program. I think the fact that its revenues are down is one of the, I mean, there's a lot of factors in our current financial state, of course. I don't mean to simplify that, but one of the things that's contributing as well is that it's not bringing in the money the way it used to.
Could you repeat that, please, Nathan, the last part of it?
Of course. I mean, there's a lot of factors to account for our current sort of financial problems. One of them that certainly isn't helping is that AMI's show isn't bringing in the money the way it used to.
It's
just not.
can I just get back on the stack, Rob, say something very quickly?
Sure.
If nobody else has spoken.
Sure, and then let's move on to the last two so we can let everyone get on with their lives.
I just wanted to, George, just a second,
Lisa. George, did I hear you say something?
Yeah, I have a short question before we move on. But let Lisa finish.
Okay, fine. Lisa, if you could go first, and then George.
Sure, I'll be very brief. I just wanted to just very, you know, quickly remind people that sometimes numbers like popularity of a program is not necessarily an indicator as to whether the program is indeed serving the mission. Many times you might. I mean, some things are not popular but are necessary. So that's just a reminder. I wanted to just remind people that, you know, what we do sometimes, it's not a popularity contest, but a program could be just as important and not get the number that another show might be getting. So that's, I just wanted to say that.
Thank you, Lisa.
Sure.
George, please.
Yeah, the programming policy that was referred to by Lisa and I think Sharna also, Is that in what you sent us, along with what we're reading now, or is that something else, somewhere else?
It was the Word document, Rob.
Relevant to this issue.
I think you sent it with it.
It's a separate document, George, that I sent you a couple of times. It's a program policy adopted.
Okay, thank you.
But I think it's also in the email that you sent out with this proposal.
Mm-hmm.
All I'm saying is that it's a separate document from the document that contains the rationale and the resolutions that we're dealing with now.
Right. But in the same email.
Right. In the same email. That's exactly correct. Thank you, Lisa. That's exactly right. Okay, number six, next to the last one, is local stations should make listeners aware of and give them access to programming produced by other local stations, Pacifica Radio Archives, and Pacifica's affiliates program. KPFK's Uprising, KPFA's Hard Knock Radio, BAI's Explorations, WPFW's Caribbeana, and KPFT's Technology Bites are examples of the type of well-produced mission-driven programming that would add luster to any program schedule. Pacifica cannot afford to delay implementing a digital distribution policy to make the widest possible variety of Pacifica program content available to audiences worldwide. You know, one of the reasons that AMI is doing so well all over the place is that you can get AMI on video or audio or podcast as well as on a wide variety of non-commercial stations. And we're not doing that sort of thing. And what we're simply saying in this resolution is that one of the things that's hurting us in our ability to reach wider audiences is we're not making Pacifica mission-driven Pacifica programming available on stations that's produced from other stations, and we're not using the internet to that extent. And that's simply a statement of fact. I think the fact of the matter is that the internet has changed the way broadcasting works, and we have to get with that reality or we're going to keep losing. So, you know, that's the point of that particular resolution, and let me start taking a stack.
Lisa? But somebody else can go first who has not talked as much.
Kathy.
Kathy and then Lisa.
Sure.
Yeah, she can go before me.
I
In some measure, I agree completely with what you're saying in this statement, in this particular motion, except that, you know, it's just something that has to be decided station by station. A station such as WBAI, which has like 80% public affairs programming, may not need some of these programs. So, but I think that it seems to me that this should be a function more of the national office in terms of making collectively all of the programs available through the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know that the local stations have the capacity for that. But there could be links on our sites. There could be PSAs on our stations of how to access the website of the national office that could provide it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you, Kathy. Those are insightful suggestions. Lisa, do you want to go now?
Sure, and I'm kind of speaking to what Kathy brought up in terms of implementation, because, you know, I think that this is a good idea. Ursula has often talked to me about AudioPort, which, you know, she talked to me about. It's still so hard for me to understand. But from what I thought, and maybe this is something we can find out a little bit more, but that a vehicle like AudioPort was one of the mechanisms where other stations or affiliates or whatever could access some of the programming that we had. Does anybody know anything about AudioPort and how that works?
Sure, of course we do, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's how it works. People put up their programs
after
and other stations.
Over, I'd like to get on staff.
Yeah.
I was actually hoping to be on there too, Rob.
Look, we
okay.
have anybody else who's on it. I didn't mean out of place.
Yeah, I thought I was.
Okay,
I've got a clutch of people. Are you done yet, Lisa?
Yes, I guess AudioPort should be a part of the mechanism or whatever to help continue with that. But yes,
okay.
I'm through.
Okay, thank you, Lisa. I heard a bunch of people. I heard
sure.
Bonnie, and I thought I heard Nathan, but it may have been Ian.
It was Ian.
Okay, Ian, and who else? I heard Sherna, did I hear? Okay, so Bonnie, Ian, and Sherna.
I think I was last, Rob. I think those other folks had asked before, hadn't they?
Okay, Ian, Sherna, and Bonnie. How's that?
Fine. I just want
I
to
feel
say
like I'm an iPod, iTunes.
I just want to say that I kind of agree with what you're suggesting here in principle. It's just that in the actual shows you're promoting, you know, they're you know, at least the one I'm familiar with from KPFK, you know, it's resource intensive. We spend a lot of money on that show, but I don't know if it's, you know, any better than some of the shows we don't spend any money on that are in the same slot or in this, you know, in similar areas. And so, you know, it seems to me like what winds up happening is, you know, we build up in our own minds that a show's great and we put a bunch of money in it, and then there's shows that are, you know, competing with it that don't get any money and don't get any exposure. And I'd like to make sure that all shows have access to the national audience. And so I would, you know, and also as far as mission driven, you know, part of the mission is questioning the things we believe and, you know, the things that we hold to be true. And specifically in the case of Uprising, I know that's not the case, that oftentimes they won't have guests that, you know, have different beliefs from theirs. And, you know, they have very rigid ideological frame that they work within. So I just thought I'd put that in.
Okay. Thanks. Sherna and then Bonnie.
Yeah, I want to go back to Kathy's point that it's going to vary by station. I think, frankly, going back to Lisa's warning before about being strategic, I don't think any specific program should be mentioned. For instance, going back to Kathy's point, I know that there's a tremendous controversy about KPFA putting Uprising on. I think it's once a week. So the point about how the decision is made locally, I think, is quite critical. But I would just strongly recommend that we not mention specific shows in the unbolded area.
Okay, thanks. I was simply trying to demonstrate to this audience that there are, you know, excellent shows at all of the stations, and to give examples of some of them. I realize that by doing that, you obviously create
it's comparison.
Enmity. Right. Okay. I take your point. So let's go to Bonnie then.
Yeah, I agree with Sherna on that. Maybe from a little bit different place, but I definitely agree that there shouldn't be examples in here anywhere. And I also agree with Kathy, I think it was Kathy, that this really needs to be something that the local stations get to work with, because we're not a group of stations who are trying to have exactly the same programming on each of our own, and we have to respond to the needs of our local listenerships, and just the needs of our stations and the different vibe, if you will, that we present on each of our stations. You know, KPFA does run a Sonali show once a week, and we run Doug Henwood's show from WBAI, and we run Michio, and of course we all love Michio. In the reference to AudioPort, I do have a couple of observations about it. They're not exactly doing the same thing, but if what we are attempting to do is get knowledge of all of our programming out to the world as far as we possibly can, it doesn't really work to just stick it up somewhere online, because, you know, that's a big pipeline out there, but you have to have a way to get people to pay attention to your little flashlight that you're shining down the pipeline. AudioPort is sort of difficult. You have to register. You have to have a code. If you are not a member that is going into AudioPort, you can't just audition something. It's up there, but you can't really get to it very easily. And I always kind of compare it to PRX, the NPR service that does essentially the same thing,
yeah,
except that they have realized that lots of times it's just going to be listeners who might stumble upon it. If I go up to PRX by just registering my email address, I can then go in there and I can listen to whole shows that they have up there. And I just find it a far better system, and I just find AudioPort kind of frustrating because of that. And, you know, we can't put everything that we make on all of these stations up anywhere, because aside from the fact that just the sheer volume of what you're talking about and the storage, we would have enormous problems ever getting people to focus on anything that way. It really has to, I don't think that things exist very well by themselves in a digital world. You have to have something that makes you link to it.
Mm-hmm.
And that involves what our strength is that we have these radio stations. And I think that's the one way that we have to sort of send people to this big amorphous thing that's up there on the Internet. And I don't think we do an especially good job of it. I think we're just learning how to even operate in that world. And another thing is that, as always, it also always comes down to money. And
yeah,
right now,
yeah,
with our concerns, you know, it has to take a little bit of a backseat.
Yeah, okay. let me just
Rob,
say it a couple. Yeah, yes, Kathy?
No, this is Grace. I was wondering if you would indulge me to make a comment or two, even though I'm not officially on this committee.
We're kind of over.
Sure, Grace. I'd be happy to let you jump in for a bit. Go ahead.
I'm on the Finance Committee of KPFK and of the and the National Finance Committee. And so finances are at the top of my consciousness a lot of the time. And I just want to say that we're really, really in terrible shape financially as a network. And there's only so much cutting that can be done before the stations, the individual stations and the network as a whole, goes below the make-break point of survival. So revenue generation has to be looked at. I don't think that anyway, I think there's an echo, but I got confused by the echo. But anyway, one of the ways, easiest ways, and most productive ways of improving revenue is by improving programming and utilizing the programming we have more intelligently. And I think that time is really of the essence. It'd be nice if we could have a year or two of conversation about it, but if we don't do this really quickly, we may not have a year or two. In fact, we may have less time. At KPFK, on our local finance committee and our budget, we chopped our payroll by over $350,000 for fiscal year 2009, and that may not be enough. And if that's any indication of what may be coming down the line at other stations, we really have to look at revenue generation with more urgency and with really more intelligence and some creativity, because we got to change something. And I think that improving programming, improving listenership. The last point I'm going to make is that over the last 5 or 6 years, the net income graph directly parallels our listenership graph, directly. Both have been sinking. And so I assume from that if we start lifting our listenership, the money will start improving. And the other important thing is that graph started to decline, those two graphs started to decline years ago when the economy was in good shape. So this is not totally economy-driven right now. So I just want to tell you that coming from the, you know, there's too little, on the national level, too little interaction between the different committees. And I just want to tell you that there's not a lot of time to work on this.
Hello.
Hello? Did I lose everybody?
Here.
No, I think
no.
We're here.
Okay.
I want to point out it's 7:35, folks.
Did we get to the last of this? Did we?
Would a motion to adjourn be in order?
May I just add a little bit of a slight bit of good news, slight little interesting something before we adjourn?
Wait, we have one more.
Can't we just do one more?
Oh, is there one more?
Oh, sure. Sorry.
Rob Robinson.
Rob, are you there?
Hi. Yeah, I got cut off some kind of way. Did Grace finish her statement?
Yeah.
Trying to move to number 7 and adjourn, but
right.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I forgot there was another one, or I would not have asked if we wanted to adjourn.
Yeah.
We need to have a decision about when that follow-up call would
be. Yes, we do.
The
last resolution says supervision and editorial control of the network's news capacity should be consolidated. Pacifica Funds, Free Speech Radio News, the Washington, D.C. Bureau, and local station news staff. The network's news gathering and journalistic resources must be coordinated to produce better news programming for local, national, and international audiences.
Kathy on the staff.
Kathy, who else?
Ian.
Who? Kathy, Ian, and George. Kathy, Ian, George, and Bonnie.
Okay, Kathy, could you go ahead?
Yes. I just wanted to say that I don't think it's the part of this to me that doesn't make sense is to consolidate local news, because the nature of local news is that it's local and should be locally driven. But I do think that Pacifica lacks, since we no longer have the national broadcast, I feel that I agree that Pacifica, certainly at WBAI, we feel a lack of national and international news and news analysis. So I would like to see something happen there. Maybe that would be the national program that you think that the first step in what we might work towards, a national news.
Okay, thank you, Kathy. Ian?
It seems like with Free Speech Radio News,
of a contractor who is in a non-competitive position, and I don't think that's ever a good model to work with, just because, you know, people tend to flake off when they're not, you know, being pushed by competition. You know, I think it shows in that broadcast. Also, the network headlines, you sound to me like ape ripping me, which is, you know, a waste of everyone. You know, most people are smarter than the AP News, and, you know, if they're not, you know, they certainly don't need it reinforced by Pacifica putting a stamp of authority and credibility on what we know, you know, are often, you know, hooey news stories, like, you know, the idea that Russia, Georgia, or whatever.
Okay. Okay. And then Bonnie, I think. I'm not sure.
George is next.
I think I was next.
Oh, I'm sorry. George, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm not clear what your intention is with this, Rob. I mean, one of the issues is whether Free Speech Radio News should be a standalone contractor. We should bring it back in and make it part of the network and somehow have more say over it. Is that one of the things you're saying? And I also agree with Kathy. I don't quite see how that or any other how that's going to function with the local station. We already do a half-hour local station, and we run Free Speech Radio News right after it. So the information content that they're providing is there already, and anybody can do that. What's the organizational thing that you're thinking about here that ought to be done?
What I'm saying is we're spending a considerable amount of money for this program. Somebody's breathing extremely heavily into the phone. If they could move away slightly, I'd appreciate it. The notion is that I think that we have news resources locally, nationally, and internationally, and we should have some sort of coordination over how that news product content is produced so that it meets the needs of our listeners. And I think right now that's not happening. We're doing one thing with Democracy Now. We're doing another thing with the Washington, D.C. Bureau. And the local stations are doing a third thing individually. And it's not clear to me that Pacifica and its listeners are getting a quality local, national, or international news programming result. And I think part of the problem is there's no coordination. Maybe Nathan has something to add to that. Nathan?
Just in terms of coordination of our different news wings?
Coordination of the content, coordination of the sound, coordination of what issues we're covering.
Yeah, I mean, I will say that Nicole has been talking with Free Speech Radio News more. I've been sort of improving our relationships with them as well. They, of course, are sort of hurting in their own ways right now because of the funding cuts. But they're very willing to work with us on these things. They've been sending out sort of the stories they're going to be covering, their run sheets in advance, and that's been helping our news departments, I know, already a bit, just that kind of early in the day notice of what's coming down the pike. A small thing, but it helps. In terms of other types of coordination, there's a lot of room for improvement. You know, why do three different local news departments need to do a story, you know, the same story if it's of national interest? Sure, of course. But I think, like somebody before me said, consolidating too much of the local is going to sort of negate what makes it special, which is its localness. Yeah, there's got to be some way to make the Washington Bureau position and space more useful for the network than what it is now. The carriage staff should point to a service that's not used very much compared to what it should be for that kind of for what we would expect from a Washington Bureau. I mean, it's something that I think needs to be sort of overarching as part of where we go in terms of programming. I mean, above and beyond just you know, this or that news, I think talking about where we go in terms of a national program that's going to draw in listeners. News has to be a component of that, given who we are as Pacifica. We're a news and information and public affairs network with a lot of music, too. But really, I think we're known for public affairs in a big way. That is also where we tend to focus our efforts for national programming, and I think that's where we focus our efforts in this case. So it would be, coordinating news coverage and making something happen, both online and radio, headed towards a national program, I think is a step to take. I kind of babbled there.
Thank you. Thank you, Nathan. Are there any other comments on this last
thought? I think I was on staff.
Bonnie was on the list.
Oh, I'm sorry. Bonnie, go ahead, please.
I agree with Nathan that maybe something about better communication might make sense, although I understand the intent of the motion to be good-intended, to have good intentions. I don't think the way it's written makes much sense. I mean, and in your explanation, Rob, you mentioned Democracy Now! We need to remember we don't own it. Likewise, Free Speech Radio News, although with talks that have been going on recently, and from what Nathan says, they are starting to at least alert us to what editorial direction they might be going in, it is a collective-run organization that is not under the Pacifica wing. Local station news, I just can't envision exactly what you mean by consolidating that, as everyone else has said. So that sort of leaves you with the Washington, D.C. Bureau. Free Speech Radio News, to me, there's something difficult about it for me in that to do a daily international news show costs more money to do it really well than we will ever see being available for it. It's just an extremely expensive practice. And they're already unable to make it even with what we had to do in making a cut to Free Speech Radio News. And I just think we have to look at how we can possibly make it sing, you know, how to get around that, because it certainly adds a lot for all of our stations to have it. But in these times when we're so strapped, we're going to have to really figure out how to make it do its very best work for everybody and still, you know, function within this financial picture that we have.
I will say this is kind of a counterintuitive statement, but if you don't mind my just jumping in for a quick comment on Free Speech Radio.
Yeah, Nick, go ahead.
I like their sound a little better since they've had their cuts. And I don't know if that makes sense, but I feel like they're, because of the cuts, it's less scattered. There's less of these sort of unrelated pieces that all come in, and I feel like they're spending more time doing feature stories followed by a two-way, followed by some kind of analysis on one big story for the day. And then other stories as well, but I feel like it's got much more of a narrative flow, sort of by necessity.
Hey, Rob, can I say something of a positive nature?
Sure, Bonnie.
It just occurred to me that while we're here kind of dissecting this and getting in our corners on all of this, considering that we did it on almost no funding, I sure think that we have had programming in the last week to be very proud of from the conventions.
Thanks, Bonnie.
I think that's true. I do think that one of the things that's not happening with Pacifica is that we're not collaborating the resources that we have at the local stations at the news level. And I think that that's something that, you know, it isn't a threat to the local stations to say that the news staffs ought to be working together and there ought to be a common calendar that talks about what's coming up and how is it being covered. And I don't think it doesn't make sense for news staff to be talking to each other and working to each other with each other on how they cover things. I think that we could work as a network. We don't now. We work as totally autonomous, separate stations. But I think if we took the resources and tried to work as a network, I think we could create a better-sounding news product at all the stations. But that's my opinion. and obviously.
Rob, can I say something and then I?
Yes, Kathy, go ahead, and then let's close out.
I would hope we could adjourn after that.
Yeah.
I would suggest that we drop number 7 and instead ask Nathan, if he's willing, to come up with a proposal for coordinating how we could best coordinate news and international news, and then discuss that and go from there. I think as it now stands, there are a lot of problems with number 7 thinking about consolidation and all of these different issues that people have raised. So I would propose that we drop 7 for now, ask Nathan to develop some kind of plan for how to better consolidate the news broadcast, the focus on national and international news.
This is Kathy. Oh.
Yes, Kathy.
I also wanted to say, specifically with regard to news and with a lot of these suggestions, that a lot of the problems that occur is because there is no mechanism of communication, and that's something that you brought up.
Mm-hmm.
All of the planning for national programming and for coordinating is always done at the very top level, and the producers that have the capacity to contribute and create are almost always excluded. So if there's going to be coordination on news, it would require a communication between the news directors, and maybe that's something that could be a substitute for this, that there be some mechanism for news directors and public affairs directors and arts directors from the various stations to talk to each other and just have a creative environment that would allow the people who actually do the work to brainstorm with each other and not have everything imposed from, you know, either this committee or the national office or even very often the station managers.
Okay, thank you, Kathy. What I'd like to do is get as much specific language from people as I can on the 7 resolutions within the next couple of days. And, of course, I've been speaking to Nathan about this for weeks and weeks and weeks, so Nathan knows that any recommendations that he would like to make are recommendations which I think everyone on the committee would like to see. Is that not the case? Yeah, I think that it is.
I think it's the case.
Okay, so Nathan should feel empowered to make suggestions on this.
Right.
The dates that we have that we can reconvene on are the 1st, the 3rd, the 5th, the 6th, the 7th and the 12th, and then after that we're getting very, very close to the meeting. So
there's other meetings on almost all of those days.
The 3rd is not an option.
Excuse me, several people are speaking at the same time.
Okay, Lisa. Somebody spoke.
And
somebody's
Bonnie,
not speaking
and then
for
Nathan.
Me.
Lisa
Bonnie
and Bonnie. Lisa,
I was just trying to tell you when there were other meetings.
Okay, well, I just looked at the KPFTX calendar, I thought. But okay. But feel free to correct me. Lisa, what's your statement?
My statement is September 3rd is a WBAI meeting.
Which date, Lisa?
Which date?
September 3rd. September 3rd.
I also have a meeting on the 3rd.
WBAI LSD meeting.
Yeah, let me just, Rob, next Monday through Thursday is the RNC. I'm working until about 2 a.m. each of those nights.
Yeah.
Okay.
Rob, isn't it just a question? The PMB meeting starts on the
18th. Yes.
We try for the week early in the week of the 8th instead?
There are meetings on the 8th, 9th, 10th, and 11th.
Okay.
I just said 8, 9, 10, and 11 are bad. 7 and 12 are okay. What about the 7th?
I think there's a possibility there's going to be a PMB meeting. It's either the 5th or the 7th.
Is that a Sunday?
I think it's going to
be a Sunday.
George, what were you saying?
I spoke to Sherry earlier today. I think she was thinking about the 8th or the sometime in the next week, the 8th or the 10th, I think, is what she had in mind.
7th is fine with me.
I'd rather do the 12th. 7th is not good for me.
Yeah, but the 10th is going to be there's going to be a conflict with another committee meeting.
But the 12th, Friday the 12th.
What about the 12th?
I probably can't make 5:30. I'm going to be in transit.
You can't make which day, Sherna?
On the 12th, it's possible, but I may have a problem. I'm going to be in transit, and I'm not sure I will be at a home by that point.
Could I ask every
12th either?
Huh?
I can't do
Ian?
12th either.
Again. Okay. It looks like the 7th is our best date.
I can't be on a Sunday, another Sunday.
Well, Fridays are bad for me.
Excuse me?
Fridays are bad
the
for
7th
me.
Is Sunday?
For Ian.
Yeah, the 7th is Sunday.
Yeah.
Maybe we should do...
It's either Saturday the 6th or Sunday the 7th.
How many can we do? Like, how many people can do the 12th, the 7th, and can we do it like that?
Well, I can send something to everyone tomorrow morning that says you've got the 6th, the 7th, or the 12th, but I need you to get back to me, you know, within 24 or 48 hours so that we can get notice out there, or we're going to get jammed on notice.
Okay, sure.
Is that acceptable to everybody, the 6th, the 7th, or the 12th?
Yep.
Are your choices? You just
yep.
have to let me know.
Wait, let me get this down. 6th, 7th, or 12th, right?
I take
right.
2 or 7.
I'm sorry, George, what were you saying?
It was Ian. And,
I said, yes, it's acceptable. That's fine. Well, I'll do that.
Okay. Ian, yes?
Yeah, I may not be able to get to my email, so just put me down for the 7th, the 6th, and the 12th as last.
Your best for the 7th and the 6th for
yeah.
Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah,
okay.
Sunday, Saturday, yeah.
And I will send out, I've been taking very, very rough notes on people's comments. I'll send them out immediately. I mean, really rough. I'm not even going to look at them. So, but if it will help people in terms of thinking about change.
Okay. Yeah, I just want to say, you know, in closing, folks, you know, we've been talking about programming with the network for years, and we still have no goals for it. We are not using objective measures. We don't have any standard format for asking the listeners what they think or how they like our programming, and we continue to lose audience. One of the problems is that we cannot change our local station program schedules, and listeners are increasingly rejecting them. So one of the things that we have to do is not to work adversarially with management, but we have to find ways to establish some measures by which we can evaluate which programs are mission-driven and working for us and those that are not. And one of the problems that we have in these discussions, they're generally in the background of all this, is that we do not want to change program schedules because it's going to likely affect, you know, the impact of our program or programs of people that we like. But the reality is that if we are going to operate the network effectively and professionally, and if we're going to save it, we have to do something to get programming that already exists before larger audiences and develop new programming that is acceptable to larger audiences.
Okay.
Because
well,
what's going on right now is
not just that, Rob, and I add to that.
Sure, Dan. Go ahead.
We keep talking about our program's mission-driven, and we want to have quality. We have a mission, but we also have 5 full-power radio stations in major markets. We've got to talk about maximizing the use of our airwaves, and it has a commercial sound to it, but if... we are very geared to smaller audiences, and well, for instance, in our station, we have programs for every ethnic group. Well, that's nice, but we have to talk about if these programs are getting small audiences, maybe they should be on our website. Maybe they should be on their our HD or HD2 or HD3 channels if and when we ever have them. And I think that's got to be an overarching statement for all of this, that we have to talk about maximizing the use of our airwaves because, in general.
Can I get on the stack?
Controversial. Many of us who would want to speak to this, I suggest that we hold off on this discussion and move to.
Okay. But I just want to say
sorry
this much.
Sorry for shooting my mouth off.
Right. I just wanted to say this much. If I may, if it's my turn.
Real quick, Lisa, and then I apologize.
Okay, I just want to say, I mean, some of the things you said, Rob, I thought were legitimate, some in terms of, because it wasn't very clear, because I didn't detect from anybody on this call tonight with the concerns that were being raised that it was out of all trying to protect somebody. I think we just know what we face, you know. I know the things I hear and what I face, and just in general about the concerns that people have raised, and I try to represent those concerns on the call. And we have to keep this just in one response with, I'm sorry, I don't remember the person's name who just spoke, but the people own the airwaves, and every ethnic group has the right to have their voices heard. We own the air. They own the airwaves. The people own them. And then can I just close with one positive thing I heard?
Sure.
Just real briefly, I don't know if this was sent around on the programming committee list. I don't think so, but I got an email. I think Pacifica was referencing the Daily News, which is like the antithesis of anything Pacifica is about. They kind of hate us. But they referenced us online. I believe it was that New York paper, and they had a link to the Pacifica Archives website or whatever, talked about the programming that you could get and that it was for free. I thought that was a nice little blurb.
Okay. Thanks, everybody, for hanging in as long as you have.
Rob,
yes, Sherna?
Everybody who is presently on the committee on the list, the Yahoo list, so I know how to send it. You know?
Yes. If everyone, what Sherna is asking, you're asking everyone to send you their email address?
No, I want to know if everyone is on the National Programming Yahoo list, and I will just send the notes to the list. Is anyone on the call not on the list?
I don't know. Sherna, what I can do is I can send you the individual email addresses of everyone on the call.
So how about if I send it to you when you out, Rob?
That's fine.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks,
bye.
Everyone.
Thanks.
Good night.
I'll talk to you. Bye-bye.
Great meeting.
Thank you. Good night.
Bye-bye. Thank you for your patience. Goodbye.
Sure. Bye-bye.
Good night.